cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to the business section of our Business Masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, your part-time financial executive solution. Joining me in studio today is Safia Boulay of New Habits, Making Shift Happen.
Hi, Richard.
Last week, we spoke to Christy Meheri about her experiences as a woman entrepreneur and CEO of Law Trust, the information security solutions provider. Our guest today is Manisha Prem. She asked me not to read this, but I have to. She's an international deal maker, a commercial advisor, a business specialist, an entrepreneur, author, and finally, commercial law attorney and founder of Imprev Incorporated.
Sure.
Manisha, that's a real mouthful.
Thank you.
So thank you for taking the time to join with us today. So give us some background on Manisha. I've had the privilege of having a look at your profile, and hence why we said we would like to chat to you on the show. Give us a little bit of background. Where did Manisha come from, start from? Give us the 5 minute rendition.
Just 5 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a big ask. So I studied law. I was born in KZN and schooled in KZN, and decided that I enjoyed reading law, and that's something I got into directly after school. It took 8 years to be qualified as an attorney with the various.
It was so long. You have to think that it's kind of lawyers, CAs. We all go. How long did that take me? It felt like a lifetime.
It did. I mean, in those days as well. I mean, you had to get through quite a few undergrad and then postgrad before you got to do your articles, and then. So it did take a while, and I also worked a lot part-time, made sure that I was financially independent from a young age. I started working when I was in high school and right through the 9 years of studying law.
So the entrepreneur emerged early on.
It did. I saw that in my mom, who did some things to generate money for the family, and I helped her with that, and then started working at a young age. And I've kind of been addicted to that kind of energy and time, spending my time doing multiple projects and multiple things, and that's kind of how I've maintained that pace from those days. So I got into law and practiced and litigated for many years. I specialized in commercial fraud matters.
Cool.
For many years.
And scary auntie.
And then got into banking. Doing deal making, which is so M&A type equity debt transactions for a long time, and then exited the corporate and started my own corporate advisory and commercial practice for the past 6 years. Besides that, I have been I've dabbled in a few other industries, trying to understand and how, you know, it all kind of works. Got burnt a couple of times.
Okay.
And here I am.
Now, I always find it interesting when people say, I got burnt in a particular space. Share with us some of the challenges that you've had there, because that's where this show is particularly our focus, is learnings from other people that help the people that are listening to the show understand, hey, Manisha had that happen to her. I better watch out for this and think about it before I just plunge headfirst into this.
Yeah,
and also that Manisha experienced that, but she bounced back.
Yeah, well, that's an important part. You know, we don't want to talk to the guys who are dead and buried on this one. We want to talk to the survivors and the people who picked themselves up and dealt with the challenges and moved forward.
So my first, one of my first lessons in business was that I bought equity into a company that was in the retail hospitality space, and it was a really good team, and we did really well for a good couple of years, and we had a good run. And I thought, well, I know how this works, so I'm going to try a new territory, and I'm going to do this on my own. And so, which is something I did it quite quickly, and I did it without market intelligence, without, not saying market research, without knowing the environment that I was getting into, and without, and trusting, and thinking that the new relationships I had with or partnerships would be very similar to the old ones, and that trust would automatically appear. But I learned the hard way that that kind of thing doesn't actually, you know, work out that way. So as a result of not knowing the new market I was entering, mm-hmm. Providing a service and product that market didn't want to pay for, but I assumed that what worked in one had to work in mm-hmm. the other. And I established relationships that I wasn't able to rely on. And as a result, I lost a lot of money. And I had to quickly get out of there and kind of forget about that and thought, well, that's done.
Well, you know what? I must compliment you on some really important learnings there. I think just to focus back on what you've said there, knowing and having that market intelligence and knowing what you're dealing with, I think that is such a critical part of entrepreneurial behavior. You know, I was busy preparing for an event that I'm handling this weekend. And one of the things that I thought about, or as part of that prep, I realized is we talk about and the concept management information system, you know, an MIS, and everybody goes, well, you need that when your business is up and running. But actually, you need the information before you step into the business. And yes, we often call that, you know, background information, whatever, but it's got to be as detailed as when you're running the business. Mm-hmm. You've now got to know what your potential looks like in terms of, you know, what does that market look like? How is it going to potentially grow? What are the challenges? You know, I thought to myself, it's amazing how we jump into something without realizing its full potential, and we sometimes are very pleasantly surprised, and the market just allows us to grow, and you hear these great success stories. But for all of those, there's also markets that are actually a lot smaller than we think they are, and we think we're going to launch this thing and everybody's going to participate with us, and 10 do. And then we've got a problem. So I think that's a very important learning. The other one I want to just focus on for a moment is your learning about others and the concept of you think your relationships will carry you. But relationships are very fickle things. They, you know, and sometimes, unfortunately, relationships of trust maybe carry you through a period of time. But let's call it relationships of acquaintance, people that you know and are known to you, but they're not really incentivized to look after your interests at all. And in fact, they may be subject to variation when it suits them and their business. So some very important learnings. Now, I noticed when I looked at your website for Emprem Inc., I saw a byline on there that really kind of stuck with me. It's the byline where you say unlocking exponential growth. And for me, I think that's something that we as South Africans need across the, let's call it the commercial space. It's just the ability to unlock the true power of what sits in our commercial environment, in the businesses that are already established and the businesses that are yet to be established. I mean, what drove you to that point and using those particular words to describe what you do? There must have been there's always science behind those thoughts. Or did it just sound really good on the website?
No. You know, Richard, when I reflect on my career and my experiences, I always try to find a phrase or a few words to be able to succinctly describe what I can do for my clients. And that appealed to me because there comes a point in a business where you are not satisfied with selling one widget at a time, where you are.
By the way, I want to know, where does the widget come from?
It comes from you.
Was that?
Yes, it comes from accountants. The lack of creativity, so you call it a widget.
They need to take responsibility.
Yes. Okay. I've never been blamed for the widget.
Richard, you're in a room with two attorneys. Watch your step.
Okay, the widget man will be careful what he says next. Okay, keep going.
So if you are looking to do something a little bit bigger and more, so in order to add more digits to your bottom line. So you are comfortable with a couple of zeros and you'll be able to generate some cash flow. And I do believe that there's people out there that can all help you unlock exponential growth, which is adding one or two more digits to your bottom line with one move. And the one move is not from selling various units of your product or service over time, but acquiring an opportunity or relationship or a contract in one move that can add that digit. And that's what I call unlocking that exponential growth. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy as an entrepreneur to be able to do that with one set of eyes. In that, to be able to identify that opportunity, to think what, and it's very strategic.
Yeah.
It's very strategic. In other words, you got to get up every day saying, what is my next move? And it's very inorganic. So it's not something that happens naturally. You got to go and find it. And if you've got a team of people or someone that is able to identify where that, how to unlock that value or that contract or that person or that, client or that new asset or even equity in a new business that's able to do that. So I don't know if I'm being clear enough, but it really is about finding that unnatural, inorganic opportunity and unlocking that.
Yeah. And I guess the point would be that there's always that opportunity somewhere in the business. You just got to find it.
Yes, always.
Sometimes you just have to, you're a mine for it.
Yeah.
You're not going to just walk past it, see it lying on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I was going to say, diamonds generally aren't mined or picked up, on the street. Yeah. They're mined from deep levels. So you've got to really dig deep, look for that nugget that allows you to. But once found, exponential growth is there, and it's an unlock that's significant in
and
the business.
And getting to unlocking that can be tricky. So it's about marrying what you do to that nugget, to that opportunity, being open as an entrepreneur, understanding what the risks are because you're not going to do it blindly, and understanding accounting and understanding law gives you those tools to be able to do that.
Okay. Well, I think it's always interesting to watch the entrepreneur, the accountants, the lawyers, and that mix that happens. It's actually quite interesting to note. I've always watched with interest how many accountants and lawyers become entrepreneurs and are able to successfully flourish because they understand the language of business, so to speak. And then you get some really great entrepreneurs who don't have any of those backgrounds, and they've just got that spark and that energy and that connection. But I think there is unfortunately, the world of business is often, the deck is often stacked in the direction of those with some of those more professional competencies, because they don't have to rely on others to advise them and support them. They can do some of that, let's call it intuitive assessment themselves, and that's quite an interesting space to be in, and I'm sure you've seen that over a period of time. So I want to ask you a question about promotion of growth in the South African context. I mean, there are some critical elements that actually help that growth happen. What do you think those are in the South African context? You've worked with a number of businesses over the years. You've worked in different industries. You've seen growth happen and perhaps growth stunt. What are some of the key elements for growth in your estimation?
So, for one, growth would definitely be completely reliant on your capacity. So you've got to create. So if you're a one-person operation, you would only be able to do as much as one person could do. And you would need to be able to create capacity by attracting resources, so attracting good people, attracting a team. So growth is fueled by internal and external strategies. The internal strategy of a business would definitely be about creating the right capacity in the form of people, systems, and processes in order to be able to facilitate that growth. And growth is also for me, it's not, as we said, we spoke about that nugget. It works best if you're working with a team because you're able to identify opportunities, you're able to identify risks, and you're able to implement, and you are able to then service those new opportunities. So those are the internal mechanisms for growth.
So you're saying it's diversifying the thinking inside the organization.
Yes, and if you're a one-person organization, you don't need to hire a team. Yeah. You just need the access to people.
Yeah.
So you're able to meet, connect, create these like kind of fake board of directors, fake advisors, be part of a community where you are talking opportunity, you're talking strategy, understanding what works for one business and how it may work for you or not work for you.
Okay.
So having access to a team, resources and people is significant. From an external perspective, I think that businesses in South Africa are not communicating. I don't want to use the word marketing. They are not talking about what they do to the right people. Mm. And marketing is, I've seen it working with many entrepreneurs that it stops at creating a logo and a website and some business cards.
Mm.
And then you kind of like hand out these business cards and like, are you communicating what your value add is? Are you talking to the right people whose problems that you can solve, and therefore you are selling, what your benefits of doing business? And a lot of us are not doing that.
I love that. The fact that you included yourself in that statement right now. So a lot of us are not doing that.
Yes.
I think the reality is that we don't communicate well what we do. Even if we think we've got the perfect network and the perfect pitch ready and we know how to make it happen, the reality is you're meeting new people all the time. You're engaging with a wider community on an ongoing basis. Are you positioning yourself to take, let's call it, every step forward as quickly and as efficiently as possible to maximize your contribution to the economy and the contribution to your company? And I guess, when I think of it sometimes, somebody said the other day to me, they phoned me up and they said, I should have talked to you 2 weeks ago about this need that I have. And I thought to myself, okay. So I obviously wasn't top of mind for that person. That means, and this is despite newsletters and email campaigns and, Google AdWords and all the marketing we do in our company. And this person admitted that they had delayed calling me and there was a 2-week gap. And I thought to myself, why was I not in that gap and up front on the gap? Why am I on the back end of the gap? And the reality is, I have to look at myself and say, well, maybe I should have been doing something different. This is somebody who knows me well and is part of my network. And the fact that they didn't call me first, but rather waited that 2 weeks, tells me that I've got that problem that you're referring to. Now, I mean, you've obviously seen businesses ebb and flow in the South African context and worked with a number of businesses in different constructs. What are some of the challenges that you've experienced to date in your business and perhaps you've seen out there that you kind of go, guys, that's a huge challenge and you've got to get on top of that issue? What are some of those big challenges? Let me call them the Manisha big pain points that you've seen out there and you go, got to fix that, got to fix that, got to fix that. Can't have those sort of things go wrong.
The number one, without a doubt, is relationships and people. You can be technically astute and you can have the best processes and systems in place, but if you're unable to develop relationships and contract with the right people and develop the right team, then your business is constrained. So, in my business, that has been my single challenge. Number one challenge is finding the right people, but also for me to be the right person to be able to find the right people. So I'm not oblivious to that. I need to be the right type of leader.
Yeah.
I love
the mirror that we're holding up here today. Getting a lot of self-reflection happening opposite us here
she
today.
She might be in my industry.
Yeah.
I've built up teams and I have lost teams. I have had a law firm with up to 10 different lawyers and support staff in addition to that. And then I break it down because the people management drags me down. And it's not because of people. There's a point when you got to really reflect and say, what is your leadership capabilities? How are you able to influence and inspire, not just manage performance? So people is critical, and that is a critical component of growth. And if you can't get that right, you're going to be stagnant, and you're going to hit the same turnover, the same margins, and it's just going to be repeated year in and year out if you don't get your people.
Rinse and repeat, as we say.
And I think it's so important what you're saying now, because so few business owners realize that the performance of their business is actually a shadow of themselves.
Yes.
And they're always talking about what's happening in the business. They're not talking about their participation in creating that. They like talking about the good stuff, but when it comes to the not so nice things, they're like, it's them. And they really can only change it when they say, oh, maybe it's me.
So I'm learning that through leadership, that it's about self-reflection.
Yeah.
And it's about, I learned something recently about it being your leadership shadow and the kind of shadow that you, and it's about you. Yeah. And entrepreneurs need to work on that and accept that and understand that it's a reflection of themselves.
Yeah.
The second component of, or what I found to be a big pain points for business owners is contracting those relationships. You know, I have seen more businesses fail as a result of breakdown in relationships than as a result of having no clients or no products or money. So I see conflict arising as a result of shareholder disputes, disputes amongst directors not being on the same page about strategy and how the business is going to move, employer-employee relationships, and a supplier-customer relationships. A breakdown in a relationship with your customer could mean that you could lose that contract and you cannot rely on those cash flows. A breakdown in a relationship with an employer-employee means that you could be in the CCMA every year for 10 years. And I've...
Please, no.
You know, can I tell you, based on my experience, the average number of times most business owners go to the CCMA is about 10 to 15. Even I go to the CCMA.
Sure.
It's because the CCMA is open to take any case that walks into the door, and then we'll see what kind of happens, what's the outcome. So the breakdown in those relationships that haven't been documented correctly, where you don't have the correct information, so that if things start heading south and conflict starts to arise, you don't know how to deal with them. You don't know how to dismiss, so you dismiss incorrectly, and you end up with having to fork out, you know, pay salaries, etc. You don't have a shareholders agreement, so therefore you are in a dispute as to how equity is going to be split or how dividends are going to be split, etc. So contracting those relationships is the number one pain that I have found from a legal perspective with entrepreneurs.
Manisha, earlier on...
No, she's going to take you back to something you said.
Yeah, it comes. I'm still busy with the pain points.
Okay.
So earlier on, you spoke about getting burnt in business a few times. And lots of people get burnt in business. Some resurface and others don't. And you said you didn't burn once, you burnt a number of times. So what did it take for you to continue in spite of what was clearly quite damaging experiences along the way? I'm sure that the varied kind of things that you had to do to help you come back onto your feet.
So I lost money in one instance, but it wasn't all the capital, my access to capital. So I was able, when I took that risk, I was able to take that risk. And the fact that I'd lost a lot of my capital didn't mean that I lost all of my capital. Mm-hmm. So I was able to still.
You were down, but not out.
I was not out. I also still ensured that I had additional. So that was capital. And the difference between capital and cash flow is critical. So my nest was still more or less, I was able to keep a large part of it intact. But I still was able to generate recurring income from other opportunities, so that that the fact that I wasn't able to get income from the one venture didn't mean that I was completely out.
So I'm almost hearing you say to us entrepreneurs out there, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Mm. Absolutely.
Well, I'm definitely hearing that. Yeah. Risk management and risk mitigation isn't just about your legal structure. It's also about what you practically do.
You practically make sure that if you are taking a risk that you have, that there is access to income and cash flow that you can rely on, that you're not going to, that you'll be able to rely on from keeping you afloat. Yeah. So that was very important for me. Also, what also kept me going is that something Richard mentioned about positioning, and I've been able to do this quite successfully, is that you've got to be able to pivot very quickly.
Okay.
So entrepreneurs means that we are small businesses. We have the benefit of moving quite fast and being quite nimble. If something doesn't work, you make a decision quite quickly. And some of us kind of stay in it for like years and years and say, well, it's going to turn someday. No, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with your pricing model, with your product. You're in the wrong market. You are not communicating it correctly. There is something wrong. If you cannot fix it, you fixed it and it's not going to work. You got to be quick, nimble to stop and pivot, change direction. Even in my legal practice.
I love the word pivot by the way. Yeah. It's a very decisive word. It implies very strong change.
Yeah. And that could be perhaps a flaw of mine is that I change too quickly. But I'd rather change.
The problem is often, unfortunately, when you pivot and everybody else keeps going
on
the same line.
Over here,
everybody, follow me.
Yes. So even in my legal practice, I started off in corporate advisory and consulting and then converted that into a law practice. And even the law practice doesn't quite fit into exponential growth. It's all about trade and commerce for me. So I keep changing the face of that all the time. So to be able to move as market moves and as your client moves and as need moves, I mean, I think that's very important for bouncing back.
Just about being alive to your reality and to your context all the time.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So as we close out the show, an opportunity for you to think about the one thing that you wish you had heard, let's say 10, 15 years ago on a radio show, that if you had heard back then, you would have done something different in your world that would have had a significant material difference on how things have turned out. Okay, so this is your opportunity to pay it forward. Give that one idea that you go, hey, or one thought that you say, if I had known about that or somebody had made me aware of that issue, I wouldn't have made some of the bad decisions I've made or wouldn't have had some of the pain that I've experienced. This is your opportunity to pay it forward in the entrepreneurial space. For those out there that are listening and going, hey, Manisha had that, I won't make that same mistake.
So when people tell you you can do it, it's true.
Wow.
When you hear that someone say, you can do this, believe it because it's actually true.
Wow. Now that's a powerful insight because I think often we think about the negatives. So thank you for that. If you believe it, you can make it happen. Manisha, it's been great to have you with us. That's Manisha Prem, founder of M-Prem Inc. Thank you for your time. We really appreciate your insights. And
how do we get hold of Manisha?
Yes, Manisha, if we need to get hold of you, how do we do that?
So, my website is mprem.co.za, quite easy, or info@mprem.co.za, or monisha@mprem.co.za.
Great. Thank you for that. Next up, the Youth Leadership Platform. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com.